Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Ches. Today's year is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on, or we're going to pick up from daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, because that's where I left off in last cycle on the shir. So we're going to pick up on Nun Zayin Amud Beis at Tanu Rabbanan, two lines from the end of the page. And we're going to discuss, or the Gemara is in the middle of discussing, actually, a certain type of cap that women wear. And we're going to talk about certain halachos that relate to that cap, not only as far as Yitzias or Shabbos is concerned, but as far as Tumah is concerned. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the signet or the seal that an Eved has that determines demonstrates whose Eved he is, who he belongs to, and we're going to discuss him going out on Shabbos with such a seal on him. That's going to be based on Shmuel's understanding of the word kavul in the Mishnah, that it refers to such a seal. The Gemara is then going to spend a lot of time discussing different types of seals. Does it make a difference whether the Eved made it for himself or whether the master made it for him? Does it make a difference whether it's made out of metal or it's made out of tit? Doesn't make these kinds of chilukim may make a difference in terms of whether it's mutar or aser to go out with these items on Shabbos. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the tumah status of bells, of different types of bells that people might wear, that animals might wear. The Gemara is going to distinguish between bells that have a clapper in the middle, there's got to be a better word for that, and bells that do not, that are just the shape of a bell but without the piece in the middle that actually rings and actually makes it make sounds. And the Gemara is going to discuss the other types of kelim that are made up of multiple parts and what the tumah status is when it's made up of multiple parts that can easily come apart from each other. Can they become do they become tameh together automatically? Do they become tahar together automatically? So that is going to be the basic topic. Those are the basic topics of this daf. So what we're in the middle of discussing is the Mishnah had said velo b'chavul, that a person is not allowed to go out with a chavul in a rishus harabim, but we weren't sure what exactly does chavul mean. Oh, someone tells me clapper is exactly the correct word. Okay, good. So we'll use that term clapper for the bell. So chavul is we said yesterday, or the daf said, the Gemara said in daf Nun Zayin, that Rabbi Avohu holds that it's a kippa shel tzemer, that it's some type of woolen cap that a woman wears. And the Braisa had mentioned that a woman is allowed to go out with a chavul and with an istima. So we said, okay, what in the world is an istima? So Rabbi Avohu said it's some type of head covering that catches the stray hairs and that covers the stray hairs. So once we're on the topic of istima, which is not a chavul, but it happens to have been mentioned in the same braisa as a chavul, so says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan Shlosh Dvarim Ne'amru Be'istima. There are three halachos that are relevant to an istima. Number one, Ein Bamishum Klayim. Since it's made of a hard felt-like material, even though it has tzemer and pishtan together, but they're pressed tightly together, they are not woven, they are not spun, they're just pressed tightly together to create this hard felt-like material, so therefore there's not going to be an iser of shatness with a beged that's made in such a way, even though it contains both wool and linen. That is somewhat troubling, because although it's true, the Torah tells us when it comes to shatness that beged klayim shatness lo yala alecha, and the Gemara darshins in Maseches Yevamos that shatness is in a trik and oshoa tavo v'noz, that in order for something to be shatness min haTorah, the tzemer and the pishtan have to be combed together and spun together and woven together. So the Rishonim point out that the Mishnah though says in Maseches Klayim that even a felt-like material that's made with tzemer and pishtan may not be shatness midaraisa, but it's still going to be shatness midrabanan. So from this price over here, it sounds like it's not shatness at all. Ein bamishum klayim makes it sound like it's heter gomor. So Tosus writes in Dibra Maskel, Ein bamishum klayim, that the reason that there's no iser klayim even midrabanan is because this was made into a very hard beged, and something that's hard. The Gemara says in Maseches Beitza they were not gozer shatnes to rabbanon on such begadim. If you were to make a soft beged that's not shoratav of your nose out of both wool and linen, yes, that would be an iser midrabbanon. But since this is a hard beged, it's not included in that iser. The Ramban understands that it's a very tiny beged. It's only meant as a tachshit. It's not really meant as a malbush, and that's why it's not subject to the iser of shatnes midrabanan. And the Rambam in Hilchos Klayim Perek Yud has an entirely different understanding of what exactly this istema is. He says it's some type of headband made out of leather, and they just have strands of tzemer pishtim that hang from it. And the reason it's not klayim is because it's not mechamim the body at all. It does not provide any warmth or any direct real contact with the body, and that's why it's not subject to shatnes. So that is the first of the three things about this type of beged, this istema. Second, ve'eino metame b'negoim. It also is not subject to tumas tzara'as that can affect begadim, that can affect clothing, because also tumas tzara'as only affects clothing that is spun thread that is then woven. But if you don't have woven and spun thread, then it's not going to be subject to negayim. The Rishonim raised the question. Sounds like it's not metame b'negayim, but other types of tumah it is going to be subject to. So Tosfos points out that even though by other types of tumah you also need tavoy va'arug, it also needs to be spun and woven, and that's a beferusha gemara. But nevertheless, it's metame b'shar tumas over here because it's subject to tumas medris. The Mishnah says, as in Maseches Kelim, by Mitpachas Nashim, these kerchiefs that women have, that it's Metame B'Tumas Medris, and since it's Metame B'Tumas Medris, so Mimele it's Metame with Tumas Meis and Tumas Sharetz as well, because we're going to have a Kal V'Chomer that if it's Tame in one, then it's Tame in the from the other as well. The Ramban writes that that the same is true as far as other Tumas, that it's not Metame other Tumas. When the Mishnah says, so unlike Tosos who's Medayek, that when we say that it's Eina Metame Tumas Negaimi means Hashar Tumas, it is Metame. The Ramban says, no, Negaim is just an example. It's not Metame B'Tumas Negaim, nor with any other kind of Tuma. The reason the Brisa mentions Negaim is because when you have something that's Tavoy, but not Arug, it would be Metame B'Negaim, but would not be Tame with other types of Tuma. So you see, Negaim, in a certain sense, is more likely to beget is more likely to be receptive to Tumas Negoim than other forms of Tumah. So the greatest Chiddush, says the Ramban, is to say that it's not Metame but Tumas Negoim. And now the third halacha relating to this beged, Vein Yotzin Bal Rosh HaSarabim. Masech HaShabbos issue that you can't go out with it to Rosh HaSarabim on Shabbos, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Einba Mishum Atros Kalos. That Rabbi Shimon says there's a fourth halacha, and that is that the Gemara Maseches Sota tells us at the very end of Maseches Sota that they made a gzeira after the Churban Beis Hamikdash that a kala is not supposed to have a special type of crown on her head. So this istima does not qualify as a crown. She's allowed to go out with it into Rosh Hashanah. The Rishonim point out that this was dafka a gzeira made on kalos. Other people are allowed to wear such crowns if they're so inclined. But dafka, during the period that she's a kala, where there's this extra simcha, and there's extra concern that people are going to forget about the Churban HaBayis, and people aren't going to are going to lose themselves, just like we had in Maseches Brachos, that's why they would dafka break an expensive kli at the wedding, because that's when one is most likely to forget about Churban HaBayis. So dafka by a kala, they made such a halacha that she's not allowed to go out with such a crown. Shailas like this come up all the time. Kalas have all sorts of fancy headgear that they have for their weddings, and sometimes it might, it's at least a shaila of whether it qualifies as a taros of kalos. So this type of istma, whatever this is not a violation of a taros of kalos. Being a kala also doesn't only mean at the wedding, right? Almost none of the Rishonim say it just means at the wedding. The question is how long she remains a kala for, right? Certainly not what colloquially we refer to a girl as a kala as soon as she gets engaged. That doesn't mean mean anything, especially for those of us certainly in America. We don't write a tanayim even at the time of the engagement. That waits till the wedding. So it certainly doesn't mean that. But the question is, when exactly is a woman a kala? So Tazrid writes Kol Shavus Yimei Mishta, throughout Sheva Brachos, she still has the status of a kala, so she shouldn't walk around with a crown throughout Sheva Brachos. However, the Ritva says no, it's even 30 days. 30 days after she gets married, that she still has the status of a kala. I wonder if the status of a chassan maybe would be totally in the status of a kala, that he might have the status of a chassan for as long as she has the status of a kala. There are certain relevant issues about going out without a shomer, about yetze yechidi that relate to a chassan. A lot of people assume that a chassan is not allowed to go out alone and that he needs a shomer the morning of his wedding. That's not really the halacha. The halacha is that while he's a chassan, which probably means throughout Sheva Brachos, we paskin, he shouldn't go out alone. That's why when I got married, I remember I asked Rav Shechter if I should go to shul, because some suggest not to go to shul so you don't stop the tzibur from saying tachnun. So he said, yeah, go to shul, what's the big deal if you stop them from saying tachnun? Then they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know, as long as it's a tzibur that normally does say tachnun and they're not just trying to avoid tachnun by inviting all the chassanim every time. So but he said, but you can't go alone, you have to have someone pick you up. So I was never aware of that. I thought you only need a shomer on the day of your wedding, but no, you're a chassan the entire week of the wedding, and therefore you have to have someone pick you up. So to go out alone would be a problem. But anyway, so as far as this these atros kalos, it lasts as long, this iser lasts as long as she's a kala. Okay, all of that was within the discussion of Rabbi Avo's understanding of what the chavul in our Mishnah was talking about. That was talking about some type of woolen cap that a woman would wear. But Shmuel Amar Kavla Diavda Tanan, the kavel that the Mishnah doesn't allow you to go out with, is a certain type of chosam, a signet or a seal that they would put on an eved to let the world know who this eved belongs to. So Frekling Maru Miyomar Shmuel Hachi, does Shmuel say that we're talking about a chosam shal eved? Vamar Shmuel Yotzeya eved b'chosam shebetzavaro, avalo b'chosam shebeksuso. Shmuel has a much more nuanced opinion as far as the chosam of an eved, that if it's a chosam that's on his that's on his neck or on his shoulder area, then he's allowed to go out with it, but not one that's on his clothing. So if the chavel that we're talking about in the Mishnah is a chavel of an eved, is a chosam of an eved, so Shmuel should have asked her to even shebet zavaro, because the Mishnah just says it's stam, it doesn't distinguish. And Shmuel, when it comes to the chosam of an eved, does distinguish. Says Mar Lo Kasha, Ha David Le Rabbi, Ha David Ihu Lenafshei. When Shmuel is matir the chosam shebet savaro, he's talking about when the master made that chosam for the eved, because the eved would never have the chutzpah to take that off and walk around without it on, because he's afraid that his master is going to catch him. It's going to be a sign of rebellion. Why are you walking around without the indication that you belong to me? So as a sign of rebellion, he doesn't want to upset the master, so he would never take it off. There's no chash that he's going to carry it dalet amos and rishus rabin. But if it's a chosam that he just made for himself, so then we have a chashash that he might take it off when he doesn't want the whole world to know that he's an eved that belongs to somebody else, and then he might come to carry it dalet amos in rishus rabin. So that's a reasonable chashash. Why in the world would an eved make something like this for himself? Meaning, if the master doesn't insist that he wear it, why would he want to wear it? Meaning, understand if guys in modern society that wear a wedding band, that even if their wife doesn't care, they want the world to know that they're married to so women won't make advances at them or whatever the but what does the eved care? And eved is so concerned that the master that he should have this sign on him that he's taken by this master. So the Meiri writes that very often there would be tax collectors that would bother people and that would ask people for services and for money. And if he has this chosam of his master, and his master is a powerful enough person, so the mochsim will leave him alone because they don't want to start up with that master. So sometimes it benefits him to have this demonstration of who he's connected to, of a relationship with a very powerful person, of an adam alim, of a strong person, so that other people won't start up with him. Now, we also the Rishonim all understand that the concern over here is that he's going to carry it Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah because he's going to want to take it off sometimes when he doesn't want the whole world to know that he's a that he's an Eved, and he's not going to be afraid of his master. However, and that's how all the Rishonim explain it. However, the Levush in Simon Shin Dalet in or Dalet Shin, the way they say it, because we always change around the letters when it spells something not nice, so we don't want to call a Simon in Shulchan Aruch Shade, like a demon. So in Simon Dalet Shin in Shulchan Aruch, the Levush writes that the reason is because that it's that for the Isser is because he made it for himself, so he has no tzorech in it. He doesn't really need it at all. Meaning, if the master doesn't require it, it's not really something that he needs. Mimela it's a masui. So that's why it's also to walk in. Now chashash, meaning chashash would be an Isser Drabanan, that maybe he'll come too, but says the Levush, no, it's much more direct. It's a masui, and if it's a masui, he's not allowed to carry it. So anyway, b'mayu kimto lahad Shmuel. How did we say what exactly was the case that Shmuel was speaking about, where Shmuel had this nuanced view that an eved is allowed to go out with the chosum shabbat savaro? So da'avadei rabbe. That's talking about a case where the master made it for him. B'chosum shabbat ksusa am I lo. But if that's the case, why are you not allowed to go out with the chosum that's on his ksus? In that case, also he's not going to take it off because he's going to be afraid of his master. So what would be the Isser? Says Gemara, the Isser is not that he's going to willingly remove it. It's Dilma Mifsak Umirtas Umakapale Machsea Kasfe. It might come off and break, and the Eved is going to be afraid to walk around without it because the master is going to be upset by that, and therefore he'll fold his talus over and put it over his shoulders so that you won't see the place where the chosum was. And that's why, and carrying your talus around in that way, wearing your talus in that way where it's entirely on his shoulders, is going to be the anisra of otsa'a midar raisak. The Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Dom Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Vam Rav Yochanan, Hayotze betalis mukupelis umenachas lal ksefav b'shabis chayiv chatas. If a person goes out with his talis just folded up and placed on his shoulder instead of wearing it like a beged, so then he's going to be chayiv chatas. That's an isser of carrying on Shabbos. This is talking about a case, the Shulchan Aruch writes, where the entire length of the talis is all placed on his shoulders. Not like we have where the talus drapes down our back and the front, but it's just folded up over our shoulders as opposed to covering our arms. That's okay. That's called a proper levisha of a talus. But if you take the whole thing and you bunch it up and it doesn't, and it's just all over your shoulder, like the conservative talus, it's like a scarf. So that's where the talus is ineffective, and it's not the way, it's not a normal derech levisha of the talus, and therefore it's considered that you're just carrying it, and in that way one is going to be chayiv chatas. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. So it says Gemara v'chiyad amar. So the Gemara brings a raya v'chiyad amar leShmuel Rav Chinna bar Shila kulu rabbanu de beresh kulusa lo lifku b'sarbalei chasime levar minach lo kapti lach de beresh kulusa. They said all of the chacham of the resh kulusa that are kafuf to the resh kulusa cannot go out on Shabbos with talisos that have this chosam, that they would make a similar to chosim of avdus to show that they're absolutely subservient to the Reish Galusa, because you have to be choshesh that the chosim might break, and because they're afraid of the Reish Galusa, they're going to try to cover the area where it was supposed to be by bunching up the talus over their shoulders, and that's going to be a problem because of carrying on Shabbos. So that's raya to this chilik that the Gemara made within the Shita of Shmuel. Okay, Gufa. Amar Shmuel, Yotzei Eved b'chosim shebetzavara, avalo b'chosim shebeksuso. That an Eved could go out with the chosim that's on his tzavar, but not the chosim that's on his clothing. So Tanya Namihachi, Yotzei Eved b'chosim shebetzavara, avalo b'chosim shebeksuso. The Braisa makes this exact distinction that Shmuel made. Ureminu, but says the Gemara, there's another Braisa that goes against that, because the Braisa says, and this Braisa is going to contain a lot of extra information beyond what we need to ask the Stira, but even that extra information is just going to be the subject of the rest of the daf, so we have to pay, we always have to pay attention to every word of Torah, but it's going to be relevant to the rest of the daf. But for right at this moment, let's try to zone in on the part that asks, that the Gemara is trying to ask a Stira from. So again, we had a first brisa that said that an Eved is allowed to go out with the Chosam Shebetzavaro, just not the Chosam Shebeksuso. But here's another brisa. Lo yetzei eved b'chosam shebitzavaro velo b'chosam shebiksuso. Here you have it explicit, right? Right at the first line, that an eved can go out with neither the chosam shebitzavaro nor the chosam shebiksuso. But we bring the rest of the braisa as well. Ze v'ze ein mekablin tuma. Both the chosam shebitzavaro and the chosam shebiksuso are not mekabel tuma because they are not a tachshit. They're made as something that shows that the person is sort of on a lower level, that he's subservient to somebody. They're not a kli that's functional in any way, and therefore they're not mekabel tuma. Velo bezug shebitzavaro. He's also not allowed to go out with a bell around his neck that may be used for decorative purposes. Aval yotzeihu bezug shebiksuso. But he's allowed to go out with the bell that hangs onto his clothing. Zeva zev mekablin tuma. And both types of bells, the bell around his neck and the bell that's on his clothing, are mekablin tuma because they are both decorative. An animal cannot go out with the bell around its neck nor the bell on its clothing. The chosam rather around its neck or the chosam on its clothing. And also not with the bell on its clothing nor the bell around its neck. But both types of bells are not mekabel tuma because they are not a tachshit for a behema. But the bottom line is that first line of the braisa, meaning the first line is the bottom line. The first line is what we're focused on, where the braisa said that an eved is not allowed to go out with any type of chosam, even the chosam shebitzavaro. And that's against Shmuel and against the braisa that supported Shmuel, that an eved is allowed to go out with a chosam shebitzavaro. So says Gemara, lema ha David le rabbe, ha David le lenafshe. Maybe we could answer that that the first braisa that allows the eved to go out with the chosam shebitzavaro is when the master made it, so he's not going to take it off. And the second braisa, which does not allow it, is where he made it for himself, so there's a legitimate chashash that he might remove it in order to not appear like an eved. Says Marlo, you don't have to say that that's the yishuv for the two braisas. There's a simpler yishuv. Edivid David le Rabbe. We're all talking about, well, both braisas are talking about a normal case where a master makes the chosam. The eved didn't make it for himself. It's what material the chosam is made out of. The braisa that says he's not allowed to go out with the chosam shebitzavaro is talking about a chosam that's made out of metal. So it's made out of a valuable material. So if it breaks, the master is going to want that material back. So even though the eved is not going to take it off, he's afraid of his master, so he won't remove it. But if it breaks, he's going to pick up the pieces and he's going to carry the pieces. So that becomes a legitimate concern. Whereas the braisa that allows him going out with the chosam shebitzavaro is a chosam made out of tit. If it breaks, he's just going to leave it there. It's not something that has any value anyway. And this is aligned with Rav Nachman says the name Rabbi Ravua. Davar makbid alav rabo ein yotzin bo. Davar shein makbid alav yotzin bo. Something that the master is not going to want to have lost, the eved cannot go out with, because then he might come to carry it or violate otsa'a. But something that the master doesn't really care about, so then you're allowed to go. You don't have to be choshesh for such things. And Hakinami Mistavrin, it's most Mistavrin to say that the second Brisa is talking about a metal chosam, midokatani, from the fact that the Brisa says, ze v'ze ein mekablin tuma, that both types of bells, of chosamos rather, are not mekablin tuma. Well, iam bishlam shel mateches, if the discussion is about a metal chosam, you need to tell me that it's not mekabel tuma, because if it were not a chosam, but were instead the same material, but made into a kli, it would be mekabel tuma. And so that's a chiddush then to tell me, but as a chosam, it's not mekabel tuma. Eliyam b'shal titnan, but if the whole discussion is something that's made out of mud, something that's made out of plaster, something that's, so then haniu de lo mekabel tuma, hakelim de tu mekabel tuma. So why would you need to tell me that as a chosam, it's not mekabel tuma? Even the kalim are not mekabel tuma when they're made out of tit. V'atanya, the braisa tells us explicitly that klei avanim, stoneware, klei galalim, kalim that are made out of animal excrement, klei adama, kalim made out of mud that are then put in a kiln and hardened, ain mekabel tuma, lo midivrei Torah, lo midivrei Sofrim, are not mekabel tuma, not midaraisa, not midrabanan. Ela shma mina, shma techa, shma mina. So we see that our distinction was correct, that we must be talking about about a metal chosam, and that's why there's a distinction between that which is shebet savaro and that which is shebet suso. Because if you have something that there's a likelihood that it will break, and the eved will then pick up the broken pieces, so then we have to be concerned that he will do so. So what comes out over here is that we have all these halachos about an eved and the distinctions between what the chosam is made out of, whether he made it himself or the master made it for him, and we're concerned about what? That the eved is going to do hotza'ah. What's so bad about, who is this Eved? Are we talking about an Eved Kanani? Pashtus, yes, not an Eved Ivri, certainly, right? An Eved Ivri, so he has the same dinim and chashab as everybody else. So the Eved we're talking about over here is someone where there's a chashash tiltul, if the Rishonim understand that it's talking about someone who is mol v'tavol l'shem avdus. He had a mila and a tevila l'shem avdus, and therefore he has all the Yisurim, because he's chayven mitzvos ki'isha, meaning the halacha is an Eved Kanani who had a mila and tevila, it's considered like almost a partial gerus. When he's freed, then he becomes chayiv in all mitzvahs. He becomes the gerus is complete. He becomes a full Jew. If he's ever freed, he's not supposed to ever be freed. L'olam bem tavod, he's supposed to keep him li'olam. But if while he's serving as an eved, so he's chayiv in mitzvahs like an isha, and that includes observing Shabbos. However, there is a machlokas rishonim whether the adon is mitzuva on shvisas avdo for such an eved. But what if you have an eved that is not malvut tavol and he's mekabel sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach? So then he himself is not chayiv in shmir Shabbos, because Shabbos is not one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and the iser would only be when he's doing malacha for his master, because the master is mitzuva al shvisaso. So then there's a machlokas achronim. What about carrying the chosam ha'avdus? Is that considered to be the malachas rabba? Meaning, if you have an eved that hasn't gone through any part of the so-called the gerus process, he didn't have mila, he didn't have tevi, but he's working for this master, and he's owned by this master, who happens to be a Jew, and the Eved is mekabel to observe Sheva Mitzvos, so he has no chiyuvim mitzad atzmo, he has no chiyuvim from his own perspective, but he's not allowed to do work for his master. So what about carrying these chosamos? Is that considered work for the master, or is that considered for himself? So that is a machlokes achronim. The Levush says, of course it's meleches rabo, because why is he carrying this chosam around? He wants to let the world know that he belongs to this master, and that's beneficial to the master. However, other achronim say, no, it's not some malacha for the master. It's something that identifies him with the master. And yet, other achronim, prima gadim, is mechalik between the chosam that the master makes versus the chosam that he makes. That if he made it for himself, so then it's not considered malachas rabo, it's malachas atzmo, because he felt some need to have this chosam. Whereas if the master made it for him, then it's considered malachas rabo. Okay, vaitu in the Gemara, Amar Mar, one of the things we mentioned in this braisa is velo bezug shebet savaro, aval yotzeu bezug shebet ksuso, that he can't go out with the bell on his neck, but he can go out with the bell in his clothing. So shebet savaro amai lo, why can't he go out with the bell on his neck? Dimla mifsik vasel siye. So because we're concerned that it might break and then it'll come to carry it. Well, zug shebet ksuso nami lechush dimla mifsik vasel siye. If it's on his clothing also, shouldn't we have the same concern? Hacha maeskin and demich. That this was sewn into his garment very, very well by an expert who made it so secure that there's no concern that it's going to fall off. So if we were dealing with a zug shebet savaro, so then there's a concern that it might fall off. But a zug shebet suso that's really sewn into his garment very, very strongly, there's no concern that it's going to come off of the garment. So that's why we have such a distinction. Now Amar Mar, we also mentioned in the brisa lo teitzei behema. Now this is all parenthetical. We quoted this brisa in order to ask a stira between two brisas with relation to the chosam of the eved, but now says the Gemara, we also mentioned in the Braisa about behemoths walking around with bells. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's analyze that. Lotetze beima lo b'chosim shebetzavara v'lo b'chosim shebeksusa v'lo b'zug shebetzavara v'lo b'zug shebeksusa, that the behema can't go out with neither the chosim nor the zug on any part of it, on its neck or on its clothing. V'zev zein mekablim tuma, and they're not mekablim tuma. So uzug de behema in mekablim tuma, is that true? A bell that an animal uses is not mekablim tuma, that's used on an animal is not mekablim tuma. Or a minu, I'll ask you, Stira, there's another brisa that tells us not that way, that zug shel behema tame, that a zug of a behema, a bell of a behema is tame, that it is in fact mekabel tumah v'shel deles tahora. But if it's a bell that's placed on a door, that's hanging on a door, on a door to I guess let people know that you're there, like a door knocker, then it's not mekabel tumah because it's batel to the deles, and the deles is not mekabel tumah because the deles is mechubel lekarka, and anything that's mechubel lekarka is not mekabel tumah. Shel deles va'asa'ol lebehema. What if you had a bell that was originally hanging on a door, and then you decided to use it instead for your animal? So now going forward, tameh, it's now going to be mekabel tumah. Shel behema va'asa'ol ledeles. Let's say you had a bell that initially you were using for your animal, so at that point it should have been mekabel tumah, but then you attached it to your door. Even though you attached it to the door and you attached it really well with nails all the way down, you know, to where it's really connected, tame. Nevertheless, it's still going to retain its old status of Kabbalah's tuma from when it was on the animal. Why? In order to take something that was previously not mekabel tuma and turn it into a kli, you just have to have machshava that to you this is now a kli. So you have something that used to be attached to the door, but now you determine that you want to use it for a behema, that's enough to make it be mekabel tumah. But vein olin midei tumasan el b'shinei maisa. But in order for something that used to be mekabel tumah to no longer be mekabel tumah, it's not enough to mentally change its designation. You have to physically do something to it. You need an actual shinoi maisa. And apparently, Rashi writes, Chibur Ledeles is not a Shinoi Maisa. Chibur attaching it to the door is not considered a Shinoi Maisa, because apparently a Shinoi Maisa is only when you change the actual Tzura of the Kli itself. But if you're not changing the Tzura of the Kli, you're just changing its positioning or what it's connected to, that's not considered a Shinoi Maisa. So bottom line is, though, you see Beferish, that a Zug Shel Behema is Mekabel Tumah, against what we said in the Brisa that we quoted before, that a Zug Shel Behema is not Mekabel Tumah. Kasha. Hadi isle inbal, hadi lesle inbal. It depends whether the bell has a clapper or not. The brisa that said that the zug is mekabel tumah is when it has a clapper. Whereas when the brisa that said it's not mekabel tumah, it's talking about where the bell can't make any noise, doesn't have the clapper. So says Maral Manavshach. So I understand. If it's a kli, then even if it doesn't have a clapper, it should be mekabel tumah because it's a tachshit even without the clapper. And if it's not a kli, because you're not going to consider it a tachshit to be a kli, so then why does the clapper help it? Is the clapper going to make it something that is mekabel tumah, makes it a tachshit now is going to be considered a kli just because it has a clapper inside of it? Says Mar in. Yeah, and that's absolutely correct. That the clapper makes all the difference, but not for the reason we thought. Not because it now turns it into a tachshit which has a din of a kli, but rather it actually becomes a functional kli. Kid Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani am Rabbi Yonasan. Dam Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani am Rabbi Yonasan. Minayin l'mashmiya kol b'kli matachol shu tameh. How do I know that if you have a kli matachas that makes noise, that it's mekabel tumah? Shenamar, because the pasuk says when it comes to hagalas kelim, when it comes to kashering kelim, kol davar asher yavo be'esh, ta'aviru be'esh, that anything that's, this is the basic halach of Kabbalah Kachpolto, that anytime you have a kli that absorbs flavor with direct fire, you have a grate of a barbecue grill or something like that, the only way to kasher it is with direct fire, and therefore it needs what's called libun chamur, it needs absolute fire to make it red hot. But we darshan from the word davar that afilu dibur yavo be'esh, that even a kli whose entire function is only dibur, it's only ashma askal, it's only making noise, you're gonna have to put it in fire because it's considered a regular kli tashmish that a person uses because since it makes a noise, everyone knows where his animal is, so it's a way of him spotting his animal. So it has a functional usage for a person. So that's called that dibur is considered significant. So b'mayu kimta. So the brisa that says that a bell is mekabel tum, we said is b'delesle inbal. That a bell is not mekabel tumah is b'delesle inbal, when it doesn't have the clapper. But then ema metziasa. But then the brisa goes on to say by the eved v'lo b'zug shebet savaro aval yotze b'zug shebeksuso v'zevze mekabel tumah. That the same type of bell on an eved is always mekabel tumah. But v'delesle inbal mi mekabel tumah. But if it doesn't have the clapper, why on an eved would it be mekabel tumah? Or Aminu, I'll ask you a stira. Ha'osa zogin. If a person makes bells lemachteshes that they would use for crushing the ketores, because we say hakol yafal lebesamim. When you're crushing ketores, for some reason the vibrations made by noise around the crushing of the ketores is good for the ketores. That's something we say every day in Karbanos, but it's a Gemara Meseches Krisos. So the kol is yafal lebesamim. So they have bells around the place where they are making the ketores. Ula arisa, if you made a bell for a baby crib, because you need some nice music, you know, they have those, I forgot what they're called already, my youngest child is already 11 years old, but the mobiles, right, that they play music and they soothe the baby to sleep. So you have such bells around the baby. Or lemitbuchos svarim, they would have bells on svarim, which by the way is still a minag. A lot of times you have sifrei Torah that have the crown that they put on top of the sifrei Torah has bells hanging from it. You ever wonder why? Where did they come up with that? Of all things to put on the sifrei Torah, I understand silver and the hiddur mitzvah and make it nice, but why dafka would they have bells? So the Rishonim point out that it used to be common that they would put bells on svarim because that was the school bell that would ring. They would the rebbeim would carry the sefer Torah or the different svarim to the classroom, and then you'd hear the ringing of the bells, and that's how the kids knew that class was about to start. That they had to come learn. So it was a school bell that was banging from the sefer Torah. So such bells ulamitchos tinokos, or sometimes they would put bells around their children so they could hear where their kids are. You have a hard time keeping track of where all the children are, or where your kid is if you're busy doing other things also. So if you're not hearing his bell ringing too much, so then you know that he ran away probably, so you better go find him. So like they would do for animals, they would hang a bell around. So nowadays they have leashes for animals and they have leashes for children, but it used to be that they would have bells for animals and bells for children. So yeshlem in biltamein, if they have the clapper inside of them, then they're tamei. Einlem in biltaharin, if they don't have the clapper inside of them, then they're tahar, because it's not yet a full kli, it's not a functional kli, it didn't have a gemar malacha yet. But if it originally had a clapper and therefore became tamei, and then nitlu in b'leyen, and then you took the clapper out, adayin tumasan aleihem, then it still has the status of tumah. The tumah doesn't go away just because you took the clapper out. What are we getting out of this brisa? That a bell that's made for people, for tinokos, as long as if it doesn't have a clapper, it's not mekabel tumah, and that's against the brisa we said that the same type of zug that we were talking about for an animal, same type of bell we were talking about for an animal, when it comes to a person, it's mekabel tumah, even if it doesn't have a clapper. We were talking about a bell that did not have a clapper, and we said before that it is mekabel tumah, and over here in this price, we're saying that if it doesn't have a clapper, it's not mekabel tumah, so it's a stira. So it says the Gemara, the price that says that a bell made for a person without a clapper is not mekabel tumah, hani mili betinok de lekola avidile. That's talking about if it's made for a child, where it's made to be mashmiya kol. So if it doesn't have the clapper, it's useless. It didn't have a gemar malacha yet. It's not functioning for what it's meant to function for. Aval gadol, but bells that they put on adults, tachshutulei. So sometimes a person, a woman, may have a type of garment that has bells hanging off the edges or something. She's not trying to make noise. It's a decoration. So aval gadol lesley inbal. So even if it doesn't have the clapper and it doesn't make noise, it still serves its function, and therefore it's mekabel tumah even without the inbal. Now this one line in the Gemara that we said before, that we darshan that dibur, that a bell is mekabel tumah, because we said kol davar asher yavabei Shafilu dibur, even that which creates dibur, comes up in somewhat of an unlikely place in halacha. There's a tshuva Rav Vosner has in Shevet Alevi in Chelek Hei, Siman Tes Zayin, where he was asked, in those places in tefillah where you're not allowed to be mafsik, what if you don't say extra words? Chazan doesn't repeat words, you don't say extra words, but you just carry on a niggin for a while. Is that going to be considered a hefsik when you carry on a niggin? So without getting into all of Rav Vazner's cheshbonos, he points out that the nigunim are a chelik of the tefillah itself. He says, and aside from that, we don't find in all of the dinim of hefsik that the niggin counts as a din of hefsik in the middle of tefillah. We only find it by answering amen that you have such a thing, which is not really the din of hefsik. The real dinim of hefsik don't apply to a niggin so long as you didn't issue any dibur mipiv. It's like a prolonged shtika, meaning a niggin would be considered like a prolonged silence, where you have issues of how long you can be silent for. Kedei ligmaris kulo, so then you have the same halachos when it comes to a niggin. But to say that it's like saying something else, like saying some other words that are going to be a hefsik, that you're not going to say, says Rav Vazner. So in the Tshuvas Shevet HaKahasi, Chelek Dalet Sim Mem Gimel, he says he thinks he has a raya from our Gemara that nigunim should count as dibur, and that it should be a real hefsik, and that wherever you're not allowed to do a niggin, you're not allowed to do, wherever you're not allowed to do dibur, you're not allowed to do a niggin either. Because our Gemara says, Kal davar asher yavo beish tavir beish, davar is a lashon dibur, afilu dibur yavo beish. So it's mekabel tuma. What's mekabel tuma? A bell. A bell doesn't speak, but it makes noise, it makes music. So that which makes noise and music apparently is also going to be halachically equivalent to a dibur. Then he rejects it, but it's a sharp raya. He then has a way to say that it's not really the same thing, but it's a sharp raya anyway. Okay, so says Gemara Vayta now. Amar mar, nitlin belein adayin tumasan alein. That if the clapper was taken out of the bell, so it's still subject to tumah. So lamai chazu, what are you using these bells for if the clapper was taken out? They're not roi for any sort of malacha, so they should be like kelim that are broken, and they shouldn't be tamei anymore. So Rabbi Yehol Shahedyot Yachal Achziro, because it's not really broken. You don't have to be a professional to be able to put the clapper right back in the bell, and therefore it doesn't lose its shame kli. So Masiv Rava challenges that we have a brisa hazugva in Bolchibor, when the bell and its clapper are connected to each other, they have a status of one kli, which means that if one of them becomes tamei, they both become tamei. So if they were both tamei and you do hazas mechatas on one of them to be metairit, the other one also becomes tar. So from the fact that the Tana calls it chibur, it sounds like, yeah, when they are connected, they are one kli. But once you separate them, so then it's like a broken kli that's going to be tar. And it doesn't make any distinction. Oh, if a hedyot could put it back. No, even if Hedyot could put it back, it's only when it's chibur. The chitema, maybe you're going to tell me that when it says the lashon of chibur, it doesn't mean that they have to actually be connected. Hachikamar aval gavdelo mechubar kimandu mechubar dami. That something that's easily reconnected is always considered as if it is connected. But you can't say that, because Valtanya, we have a brisa that tells us, maspora shel prakim, if you have a pair of scissors that are made of two blades that you can easily stick together and just put the screw into all of them together. So maspora shel prakim. So when it's when you're using them, you put them together and make a functional scissor out of it. Or v'izmal shel rihitni, something that flattens boards, also made out of two pieces, a board and then a blade that will smooth out whatever it is that you're whatever boards you're trying to smooth out. Chibur l'tumah, they are considered a chibur l'tumah vein chibur l'azah, but they're not considered connected to each other as far as being metaher them. V'amrin and manavshach I chibur hu afil l'azah. Well, wait a second. If they're considered connected, they should be considered connected even when it comes to being metaher them. And if they're not considered connected, then even as far as one becoming tamei, they shouldn't. It should not be metamei both of them. How can you have it both ways? Either they're a single unit, both for tuma and tahara, or they're two separate units, both for tuma and tahara. Why would something be a chibur, a single unit for tuma, but not for tahara? V'amar Rabba, and Rabba explained that Dvar Torah b'shas melacha chibur bein l'tuma bein laza. When you're using the scissor and it's connected, it's actually physically connected, and it needs to be connected, then it's an absolute chibur, both as far as tuma is concerned and as far as tahara is concerned. Shelo b'shas melacha, when you don't need them to be connected, even if they happen to be connected, but you're not using them right now, Einu chibur lo l'tuma v'lo laza. Then they're not considered a single unit. But the gazru al tuma shelo b'shas melacha mishum tuma shi b'shas melacha. The Rabbanan made a reasonable gzeira that if it's going to be considered a chibur during the time of melacha, so we're going to declare that it all becomes tamei even shelo b'shas melacha. That if one piece becomes tamei, the other piece also becomes tamei even shelo b'shas melacha, because people might confuse shas melacha from shelo b'shas melacha. And the same is going to be on the flip side. And al hazaa shi b'shas melacha mishum hazaa shelo b'shas melacha. We're going to be gozer on this sprinkling which happens at shas melacha on account of the sprinkling that happens shelo b'shas melacha. So even though at that moment they're not connected to each other. So you see, the Braisa uses the term chibur for when they are connected to each other. So too, when we say azug va'inbal or chibur, we're talking about when they're connected to each other. So don't tell me that when we said the word chibur, we mean kelim that are sometimes mechubar. No, it means when it's actually mechubar. So it means say that as din of one kli for tuma and for azah. But if you take out the clapper from the bell, it's a kli that part of it has been detached from it. And even if a regular person can put it back together. But a part of it has been detached. It's not considered chibur. So based on that, Rava disagrees with Abaye's answer, and he gives a different answer. So again, the question that we had asked was that we said that if you take out the clapper, the Braisa had said that if you take out the clapper, it's still going to be tame, the bell's still going to be tame. So we said, why? It can't do anything. So Abaye says, because it's so easily fixed. A head yot could fix it. So it's considered as if it's a full kli. Rava has now rejected that. Even if a head yoke can fix it, but bottom line is, right now it's not connected, so it's not a full kli. Ella Amar Rava, so Rava says, no, don't say that if you take out the clapper, it's still tame because a hedyot could put it back. No, that, it's considered a kli that's partially broken, and because of that, the clapper is going to be tahar. It's just the bell that's still going to be considered a kli, and the bell that's going to be tame. Why? Hol v'roi lakishal gabe cheres. A bell is not useless if it doesn't have a clapper inside of it. You could hit the bell against other things. You could take cheres and bang it against the bell, and it's therefore usable for its original function, and that's why it remains tame. Itmar nami am Rabbi Yosef Chanina hol v'roi lakisho al gabe cheres. That's Rava's answer. There are more explanations, more answers, but Bez Hashem will pick up with that tomorrow on Nun Tes Amud Aleph with Rabbi Yochanan. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
Have a good day.
Oh, yeah.